The Constitution makes the President of the United States Commander-in-Chief of the Army and Navy. It bestows no responsibility to lead the nation in grief, or in celebration for that matter. But inevitably, most presidents must decide what to do and how to act publicly when U.S. servicemen and women die in combat. The deaths of 8 men in Afghanistan forced that decision upon George W. Bush. And his response appears different, more stoic than some of his predecessors. David Gergen knows a lot about the way presidents handle such matters. He worked in both the Reagan and Clinton White Houses. David Gergen, how do you understand the president's apparent decision to avoid public accounts or perceptions of his grief, which we can only assume is as profound as any other president's grief?
It appears that two things are going on here. One is a response by the administration to what it saw as signs of weakness by the Clinton administration after the 18 American servicemen lost their lives in Mogadishu in Somalia, that the grieving that went on after that was also accompanied by pullback. And the Bush administration has been very anxious to avoid sending those kind of signals. They want to prepare the country, to steal the country, if you would, to more deaths that are going to be coming because this is going to be a long-term war. The other, it strikes me, is much more personal and has to do with the character of George W. Bush. That is in contrast to certain recent presidents like Bill Clinton or Ronald Reagan. And that is, I think he is a very emotional man in his interior, but I think he's not as easy as, say, Bill Clinton was to give voice publicly to his emotions.
The White House press office tells us, by the way, that President Bush has been sending handwritten notes to each of the families. Lincoln was famous for his notes.
Yes, he was, and very poetic notes that Lincoln wrote.
I recall, though, during the Reagan presidency, when I believe Marines were dying in Lebanon before the barracks explosion, the president actually calling up the families of servicemen who died.
Ronald Reagan grieved deeply when American servicemen were killed. He would call, and he was also particularly good at giving voice to the national sense of grief. And what Reagan was particularly good at was not only to give voice to the sorrow that we all felt, but to find meaning in it. And he was particularly good at that.
In this particular case, as I hear you, there is a connection here with policy. You're describing a sentiment that if the U.S. is perceived as being too grief-ridden over all deaths, then that might connect to what was perceived as the reluctance to send ground troops into places and stand by them.
I can't emphasize enough how profound the impact of Somalia was on the Defense Department. The message that went through the Pentagon was that if you're a general and you commit troops to combat and they die, it's a very good chance it's going to terminate your career because Americans can't take death. So we have to fight our wars from 36,000 feet. The Bush team has been trying very hard to overcome that perception. I think this response to the deaths in Afghanistan is very much part and parcel of a belief that we have to accept these casualties without flinching. We have to sort of stand up and say, this is part of what happens in war, and now we must go on. If I may add, if there's one thing that seems to me the president could change in his, the way he's responding, I think would help a lot. He's saying, we're very sad about these people being killed in Afghanistan, but we must go on. It's the but that's troublesome. If it were an and, it would make a big difference in the way you think about it, because it's the and that says, we have these deaths, and that only reinforces our determination to go on. These people must not have died in vain.
David Gergen, thank you very much for talking.
Thank you, Robert. Again.
David Gergen, formerly of the Reagan White House, later the Clinton White House, is now professor of public service at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard and also editor-at-large for U.S. News and World Report.